General Motors on safari. Here is adventure. Excitement. And danger. General Motors and their dealer organization throughout Southern Africa are proud to present another program in their current series, bringing you the African bushveld of today and yesterday in dramatized fact, fiction, and true life documentary. General Motors on safari.
Throughout the length and breadth of this continent, stories are told about the diabolical cunning of animals. Tall tales, requiring both the teller and the listener to be in an advanced stage of drunkenness before any degree of credence may be attached to the story of the man who changed into a hyena, or the child who was foster-fathered by a black-maned lion. In all these stories, of course, the male lion is always black-maned. It wouldn't do to have the king, the chief actor, as one of the lethargic, mangy creatures who unfortunately dominate the felt today. One of the tallest stories I've ever heard, one that has followed me from Cape to Cairo and back again, is the legend of the lion who jumped at an African boy as he cycled home from school one day along a narrow bush track. The lion missed, apparently, and the boy broke the world record for the mile cycle sprint into his village and was unable to speak coherently for a week afterwards. But, swears the man who told me the story, a few days later, the same lion was observed in the same place jumping at an imaginary cyclist attempting to get his elevation right so that he wouldn't miss another time. Well, you don't believe it? I don't blame you. There's a difference between animal cunning and animal incredibility. Tonight I'm going to tell you a true story of a crocodile. A beast who appeared bewitched, an animal who had accounted for the lives of over 50 villagers from Kisani on the slopes of the Uluguru Mountains. In the body of this beast, the natives swore, dwelt the spirit of Ramazani. Jean Morel is an ex-professional hunter. An honorary game warden, he now runs a small photographic safari outfit in Central Africa. He has no definite base, and a long time since I've heard from him. But the last time we did meet, he told me the story I'm going to recount to you tonight. Amongst the local tribes, Morel had earned the nickname Bwana Shauri, which means Mr. Trouble, or boss always find problems. Business had been poor for some weeks when the DC paid a visit to Morel's temporary home of tents and trucks and shacks, which could be assembled and packed up again in less than a day.
Friday, I said today, not tomorrow. Fast, Friday.
Indio, Buan, indio.
Shana, Shakula when I say, huh? Have something ready.
Hi, Morel.
Bert, well, what can I do for you?
You can dig me out a drink for a start. Then perhaps you can do something very important for me.
Well, the first part's easy. Come and see the new jungle green all the way from South Africa.
A bit low. Not really practical, is it?
It's all right for honeymoon couples who want some adventure. But the big sit-up and beg tents are too much like a refreshment kiosk on a village green at harvest Thanksgiving. Sorry, there's only beer crate to sit on. We haven't properly yet.
How did you find me?
Peters. He got it from his boys. They all know when the Buona Shari is on his way.
It's a bit warm.
It doesn't worry me. Cheers.
Cheers. Well, fire away.
I've got a problem, Jean. No Cassani?
Which one? There are two. One in...
Uluguru.
Mm-hmm.
Problem's a croc. Big one. Eaten 50 of the poor beggars, so the head man tells me. I sent young Hay up to deal with the thing. Routine. So I thought. I was wrong. Hay made a botch of it, and the people aren't one little bit pleased with the Buona DC.
When did the killing start?
5 years ago, Hay said. Had a long natter with the present head man and the witch doctor up there. You see, as you probably guess, Jean, it isn't just a straightforward case of rebel croc.
Witchery?
More or less, yes. Nothing spooky, mind you. 5 years ago, when it all started, the headman was a bloke called Ramazzani. And the croc just walked into the village, picked the headman up, and waddled off with him. Now, Ramazzani was a big man, a powerful, you know. Croc took a devil of a long time to finish him off. Apparently, all the time he yelled for help, but his subjects were too scared to go and see what was going on. They left the poor so-and-so to be chewed up. Anyway, that was the start. Having disposed of Ramazzani, the croc paid a monthly visit thereafter. Every month. Wallop. Of course, the villagers, naturally having to find some deep, murky reason for it all, believe that old Ramazzani's in the croc and his spirit's clobbering them one by one because they didn't save him from the beast 5 years ago.
Well, naturally.
Anyway, Jean, the local witch doctor up there is onto a good fiddle as well, increasing his power by leaps and bounds. Every time the croc doesn't actually put in an appearance for a few weeks, Bodhi, the doctor, sacrifices one of the villagers.
Oh, no, no.
Well, that didn't help Hay at all. The doctor doesn't want the wretched thing killed. Blocked Hay's every move. I'll have the other half of the beer, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
It's an educated croc, too. Wily.
How did Hay try for him?
At night, with a torch. Any sure way to go after them. He tried everything he knew. Which I don't think so lot when Hay's concerned, but that's neither here nor there. Anyway, apparently, as soon as the croc sees the light, he goes straight under and down to the bottom. 15-20 feet down. Hay said he could see the ruddy thing, large as life. Too deep for a bullet, though. Impossible to harpoon. And Hay tried prodding him, long pole, to get him out of the deep stuff into the shallows. Thing just stirred up the mud, though, into a sort of porridge.
Mm-hmm.
So, what about it? Buona Shari. Good Shari for you, Api Kasani. You're strong medicine for the villagers. Haven't got a lot going on for the moment, have you?
No.
Anyway, I don't like the witch doctors getting too strong. It mucks up the smooth workings of the central government. Me.
All right, Bert. I'll go to Kasani.
They left the next day. I say they, for Morel travelled nowhere without his faithful Sidey, the gunbearer. Sidey was a bit of a legend, rather like Skellum, Peter Grant's tracker. Sidey was supposed to be 150 years old. He was old, but subtract 20 years for native superstition, another 20 for his misunderstanding the calendar, and then take away another 4 decades for plain unadulterated lying, and you end up with a fine, tough, stringy little man of about 70 summers, and good for another 20 at least. Kisani was pretty high in the Uluguru. The journey took 2 days. The whole village was expecting him. Every native there knew Morel, if not by sight, then by reputation. The young fool ranger who had tried to kill the crocodile had departed. The villagers had been pleased, for the crocodile was the spirit of their departed headman and was not to be interfered with. Had not their doctor, Bodhi, told them that they must submit to the will of the unknown? The ranger had gone, but in his place, Buona Shauri had come.
Why you come this place, Buona Morel?
Well, you have a crocodile troubling you, Chief. I have come to make medicine. To take the crocodile away.
The people know the Buona way with all the wild things, all bad things. Buona Morel is a deep man.
I'll need guides to the pool. You'll provide them.
Bodhi say, the crocodile must be leave to be.
I'm not here to do as Bodhi says, Chief. I'm here to do as I see fit. The DC wishes the crocodile to be killed. He sent me. I shall kill it.
Nothing can harm the beast. No man. Ramazani has spoken. He say we must die because we did not hear his cries.
You were in the village when Ramazani died?
Salanga was here. The elders all were here. Salanga was here.
You heard the head man, Ramazani, cry out when he was taken?
Yes. But what could a man do? To die, we were all afraid. No man wishes to be eaten by crocodile, Bana. But Ramazani will never forgive us.
So you're just going to go on being punished?
Ramazani has spoken. Bodhi, he says so.
Take me to Bodhi.
I am Bodhi.
Come, Bana. Is this man he say that...
I know what this man says.
This man is the Bwana.
I know who this man is. Leave Salanga. Leave the white man and Bodhi.
Without as much as a word, the head man left the hut. Morrell didn't speak. The doctor didn't speak. Instead, he walked slowly around the white man, his small black eyes screwed up tight, as if against a strong light. Morrell casually lit a cigarette.
Many people speak many things of the Bwana Shaore. Some say he's a big man. This is true. The Bwana Shaore is truly a big man. Some say he fears nothing. Perhaps he fears nothing he has come face to face with. True. People say the Bwana Shaore's medicine is the strongest in the mountains. This is a lie.
I've come to kill the crocodile that's troubling your people.
You do not kill the crocodile this day.
True, I may not kill him today. Perhaps not until tomorrow, but I shall kill him.
No! Listen, white man. The medicine of Bodhi, son of Ganga, son of Kapa, son of Sawa, is strong.
My medicine is stronger.
No! My medicine is that of the crocodile. For in the crocodile is a mighty spirit. The spirit of Ramazani. Bodhi and Ramazani shall punish the people. Punish them!
Punish them, Bodhi. Why?
Because when our beloved Ramazani was taken away and eaten, the men trembled inside their hearts, afraid! Afraid to come out and save our brave Ramazani.
And where were you when this happened, Bodhi?
My medicine is stronger than white man's. The medicine of Ramazani is stronger than white man's.
We'll see. Won't we, Bodhi? I shall go out onto the pool in a Mokoro for one night, Bodhi. One night, mark you. I shall kill the crocodile in one night.
You shall never do this thing. No man. Only a devil may kill the crocodile. You will fail.
Then, if I fail, I shall leave.
And you shall never return.
And I shall not return.
Then you shall be.
I know you, Bodhi.
And Bodhi know the Bwana Shaore.
No. There are parts of my heart that Bodhi cannot see into. I see all of Bodhi's heart, and it's black. The people have great fear of the crocodile. But it is you who make the crocodile into a devil that cannot be killed. You who kill the people, not the crocodile, not any spirit of Ramazani.
The crocodile kill and eat people.
Yes, given by you.
But it is necessary. A good thing to do. Necessary thing to do. The spirits must have blood.
Necessary? Necessary? Your head man would never say such a fine word in this tongue, Bodhi. You know many fine words, eh? The mission...
Bodhi go a fine long time away to the mission. Books, paper, pencil and pen and ink and blackboards. Bodhi know many things. Many things. Bodhi know more things than the Bwana Shaore. Bodhi got his people. Bodhi...
I do not wish to hear of any more things that Bodhi can do. Tomorrow the crocodile will die. There will be no more deaths of the people who live in this village. Should there be... Then I shall send soldiers to fetch you, and Bodhi will die. Understand?
And tomorrow, you shall kill the crocodile.
Tomorrow, yes.
The home of the beast is in water that is too deep for the white man's magic. Too deep for the bullet.
My bullets travel underwater. My bullets travel round the world. My bullets never stop. Tomorrow, 2 hours. That's all I shall require.
Body will be standing by the great tree from which a man was hanging in the days of legends. Body will be standing by this tree as the white man goes away.
With the great beast's skin.
Morrell left the headman's hut and went in search of Siley. He found the old man holding court several huts away, telling a sullen crowd of natives of the many fine and courageous deeds he, Siley, was responsible for during his long and magnificent 1.5-century career. Morrell gave his gun-bearer certain instructions that night, and they spent the dark hours in a small vacant hut close by the chief's kraal. The instructions Morrell had given to Siley, they were simple. They would have made the doctor smile if he had heard them. At last he would have known for sure that all men with white skins were foolish. Morrell had said,
Siley, go and cut a long bamboo. Straight. Strip out all the center veins of the joints, but leave just one intact at one end.
There was no moon that night, their second in the village. They had left with a guide just before nightfall. The whole village had lined up to watch them go. They had to run a gauntlet of sullen faces. No words were spoken. There were no cries of success or good luck. The last member of the village community, apart from the guide, standing at the very end of the horseshoe of watching people, had been Bodie. He had caught Morrell's eye and smiled. But his smile was not a good smile. Not the smile of a man who wishes the one he smiles upon well, but evil. Found them the pool their guide had said. The man just dropped the light Makoro he was carrying and fled into the darkness without a word. Siley hoisted the small craft onto his shoulder and Morrell continued. The finding of the pool was no problem, for a well-worn trail had been blazed from the black water to the village, a trail made by a great reptile and more than 50 bodies. Out onto the pool. Out into the pool's middle, Makoro, two men, rifles two, powerful lantern, no moon. Back in the village of Kisani, headman, villagers, afraid. Each man and woman, although secretly hoping for an end to the beast that had brought so much terror into their lives, not daring to give voice to this hope. Bodie, waiting, secure in the knowledge that the medicine of the crocodile was stronger than the white man's hunting powers. Makoro, slowly, into the heart of the pool. And then they waited. But no moon came to give natural light to the play. Powerful beam swept over the surface of the pool, probing the darkness across the waters, lighting up the bush that surrounded the pool. Minutes passed. The beam picked and prodded at the darkness, sweeping it aside like a curtain, only to let the curtain fall again as it passed on. And then Morrell found what he was looking for.
Out. Over there, Siding. Slowly, very slowly. Two paddle strokes and then stop. Torch again.
And at the end of the beam resting gently on them, two lumps,
poking out of the water like twin sea serpents.
Oh, I see him, Bwana. His eyes light up the dark like the lights behind our gharry.
Tulips, eyes. Eyes of the spirit of Ramazani. The little Makoro went forward. Morrell slipped the safety catch of his Jeffrey 500. He raised the gun slowly to his shoulder. The eyes could be seen clearly now. The Makoro glided towards the eyes, fixed in the torchlight. Hold it.
Hold her steady. Still.
Finger tightened slightly on the Jeffrey 500, and then...
So the ranger was right. The devil knows all about lanthorns. All right, let's get over to where he died, Sidey. Hard as you like.
What?
Down in the illuminated water, down at the end of a beam of light like a sunbeam, the spirit of Ramazani, more than 2.5 yards long, this killer was, resting, secure, wise in the ways of men, knowing somehow that the bolts of death men loose at the animals or the wild places do not travel far with any force or accuracy underwater. Resting, secure, in the torch's beam, in the depths of the pool, its home.
I could not spear him, Bwana. Never.
Just keep the Makoro steady, old man. I've got him where I want him. All right, give me the bamboo.
Sidey had obeyed his orders, although not knowing at the time what use his Bwana could put a 20-foot pole to. A 20-foot pole with all the center veins, bar one, stripped out, and that one at the end of the pole. Straight. Perfectly straight, this pole, carried in the Makoro.
Pole, Sidey.
And then Sidey knew what the pole was for. He grinned in the darkness, delighted with the white man who employed him.
Carefully. No splashes. I'll lower it into the water. He thinks he's safe. I want him to continue thinking he's safe. All right, down, down. Yes. Little... No, hold it, Sidey. Over his head. Right. Careful. Get the gun barrel down. Right. Over to the left. Over to the left. Hold it still.
Very still. Oh, blast this boat. Oh, too much movement, Boyle.
No, I don't think so. Gauge that. A little more to the left. Yes.
And down at the end of the torture sunbeam, at the end of the bamboo pole, the spirit of Ramazani died. And at that moment, from nowhere, the moon came, making the pool silver ice-like. Morrell turned the torch full onto the face of the black man, the face that was split into the biggest smile in the world.
Oh, you are pretty clever, Bwana. Oh, strong medicine.
Only when the body of the croc surfaced would the villagers believe that the spirit was at last destroyed. Bodhi, whose medicine had turned to water, disappeared. He never returned to Kisani. The grave faces were no longer grave. No more deaths. Sairi was regarded with some awe, for was he not the assistant to the exorciser? Morale, why not Shashi? He became a little more of a legend. The skin of the spirit of Ramazani forms a kind of red Indian totem at the beginning of where the path of death from the village to the pool used to be. The bush has overgrown the path now. There are no more crocodiles. No more spirits. Good night.
Join us again next week for another story of the African Bushveld. It might be fact, it might be fiction, in General Motors on Safari. Brought to you by General Motors South African, manufacturers of Cadillac, Buick, Oldsmobile, Pontiac, Chevrolet, Beaumont, Vauxhall, Opel, Holden, Bedford, and GMC Motor Vehicles.